In the meantime, let's talk some Eagle football with the man that we always bring in during the week, to midweek Eagles report, as the Eagles prepare for the draft. And Carson Wentz and Malcolm Jenkins spoke yesterday. The man who covers the Eagles for ESPN.com, his name is Tim McManus. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Tim, what were you enlightened about in Carson Wentz's soliloquy yesterday?
Yeah, I think that he came off with a little bit of an edge, Mike. It surfaced, I think, the most when he was asked, do you feel like you're still chasing your first championship ring, or do you feel like you already have one in your pocket?
Ooh, a biting question.
Yes, and he was terse in his response, probably rightfully so, in saying, if I remember right, we won the Super Bowl last year. But there was that kind of feel about him where there was at least a slight edge of defiance in his voice. And I think that it came up also when a question was started with a statement of, you know, you're not going to be probably the same quarterback you were last year, at least at the start of the season physically. And his response was, you know, we'll see about that. I think I'm going to be fine. Mm-hmm. And then when asked about his playing style, saying, you know, I can learn about protecting myself, but I'm not changing my style of play. That's not happening. Yeah. So I think that, you know, this was a Carson Wentz that was setting the tone for what's going to be obviously a very motivated number 11 in 2018. As he's coming off, this is a very strange situation, Mike, you know, where you're coming off of a Super Bowl championship, your star quarterback wasn't a part of it, and he's still really positioning himself in this league. And so I think he's very motivated to prove some points as he's entering the year.
Yeah, that's a lot of defiance. You know, that question was unfair because the man got him into a position where they could get the number one seed. So, you know, he's every bit as much of that Super Bowl and probably more than Nick Foles, even if Foles followed it through. Yeah. But here's my question about the defiance, because now he's so hell-bent not to be forgotten as the starting quarterback of this franchise. Does that mean he will rush himself back in? And will they have the wherewithal to say, like, you know, because he's going to say, after he goes through all this rehab, I'm healthy. Phillip Rivers did it in 7 months. I'm ready to go. What position does that put the Eagles in?
Well, number one, I would say that Wentz's injury is unique to some of the other guys that came back really quick, in that he has two ligaments that are damaged, and most of these guys, like Adrian Peterson or Jamal Charles, they just had a clean ACL tear, which allowed them the chance to come back quicker. I think it's a little bit more complex when you're dealing with a second ligament. But I think that it falls on the Eagles organization here to make sure that Wentz doesn't put himself in harm's way, because you do have a very motivated player. He's one of the most competitive people that I've ever been around. And you're going to have to protect him from himself in this situation. Now, yesterday, he said all the right things. Believe me, I'm not going to rush back. You hear all the horror stories. But I think there's going to be a time where the regular season is dangling in front of him, or the training camp's dangling in front of him, whatever the marker is that he's chasing down. And if they have to be 100% sure that he's right, because there's nothing more important than his long-term health. And it would be a travesty, you know, for Eagles fans if you got into a situation like RG3 where the guy is just never right after a bad injury. You know, so I think that while Wentz clearly has some pull within this franchise and his opinion carries weight, in this case, you know, the proper authorities are going to have to overrule him if he's trying to force his way back too soon.
Tim, did Malcolm Jenkins say that he handles failure better than he handles success? And I don't know if he said it directly like that, but he kind of alluded to that. What does that mean exactly to him, and how this team will have to handle this kind of success where every game they play is like the Super Bowl to the opposition?
Mike, it's a great question, because as Jason Kelce laid out so eloquently at the parade speech, this is a team full of underdogs. And yep. So what happens when the underdogs become champs? And how do they respond? And that's exactly what Jenkins was saying yesterday, is that he has thrived in his life when he's been discounted. When they say, oh, you know, he's not good enough at this, yeah, or whatever, that's when he's at his best. And that was basically what he was saying. And a lot of guys on this team seem to be wired exactly that way. I think that part of the challenge that you have coming off of a Super Bowl like that is, you know, are you now satiated in any way? You know, is the underdog the hungry dog? Now, what are you if you're fed? So I think that's something that this whole team is going to have to combat. And Jenkins just illustrated that by pointing to himself and saying, you know, that's basically how I'm wired. And I think that they're going to have to find a way to sort of get re-motivated and find another area of focus, you know, somebody to push against. Whatever the case may be, they're going to have to find a way to kind of recapture that edge.
Yeah, it's a really weird dynamic that these guys now have to change their stripes and go from the ultimate underdogs to now being the hunted. And I wonder if the leadership is built that way. They've had a lot of changes now with not new people coming in.
Yeah, and I would actually say that that might be a good thing. You know, one of the immediate reactions from Jeffrey Lloyd and Howie Roseman to Doug Peterson was, we can't rest on our laurels and that we're going to have to find a way to regenerate what we just did, but in a different way, if you understand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And I just expect the same thing to happen all over again because you have the same roster. In fact, they made it a point to refresh and kind of recalibrate with their roster in order to make sure that they weren't doing that. So they were aggressive in their pursuit of trying to get better and trying to be a little bit different in hopes that they they fend off against that type of thing.
All right, let's look at now some nuts and bolts here with the cornerback situation with Worley being zipped just as quickly as possible. I wonder if you can shed any light on, you know, it took him like 4 hours to get him out of the organization. And now they kind of have a hole at slot corner. I know they've talked about Jalen Mills being there. Worley was supposed to be in that mix also, if not a backup. So how does that situate him?
Well, I think what it does is it doesn't put him in any kind of desperate situation. They're still pretty good at cornerback, where they have Sidney Jones coming back from the injury, Jalen Mills, Ronald Darby, Rasul Douglas, and Doug Peterson did mention as the top candidate for the slot corner to replace Patrick Robinson as being Jalen Mills. Now, number two was Darryl Worley. And so their depth at least took a hint, and it doesn't give them the same types of freedoms that they would have had if Worley was on the roster. I think that's really what it equates to. In other words, there was a chance, I think, that Ronald Darby was going to get moved between now and the end of the draft. And now I don't know if they're in that kind of position where they can do that. So that type of deal. And also, you know, they're going to have to find a solution for slot corner. They're very fortunate in that they have very few holes, but that is one that's kind of staring at them, is how do we find a solution for Patrick Robinson, who was one of our, you know, better defensive players in the secondary last year, amazingly, and who's going to fill that role? And so that's where they're going to be experimenting. I don't think they have the full answer yet, and I think that also pulls potential draft options further into focus here. And one guy that they had in the building just yesterday, Mike, was Jair Alexander out of Louisville. And a lot of guys are projecting him as a slot corner / punt returner. And so I think that, you know, it just kind of, it doesn't create a desperation situation, but it makes with the sense of urgency of finding a slot corner maybe just ratchets that up a notch.
So at their draft position, and we talk to Sal about this all the time, and he goes, at that draft position, best player available. Are you suggesting that they would be more position-oriented at that spot or best player available? Because one of the best players available they really like is that running back from LSU, Geis.
Right, yeah, they do like Geis. And there's a pattern that has been sort of emerging, if you look closely at this, at the running backs that they've been examining. It seems to be these bigger built backs that sort of falls in line with, you know, LeGarrette Blount and Corey Clement, and to an extent Jay Ajayi, and I think that Darius Geis fits into that. Sony Michel is another guy that kind of fits that mold. The same thing with his backfield partner Nick Chubb at Georgia. Rashad Penny is another one at 220 pounds that they've been looking at. And, you know, a theory that I've been working with is that the end of the first round / the top of the second round, and I still think it's very possible that the Eagles trade out into the second round to add additional firepower in the draft, is a real hotbed for where those backs might be coming off the board. And so it makes a lot of sense if they were to pull the trigger on somebody like Geis or like Michelle to me. So to answer your question, I don't think that they're going to get real position specific. I think that it might fall naturally in that area for it to be an offensive weapon like a running back. Seems supernatural.
So if Geis and Michelle are there, either one of them is there, the chance are they would take that?
No, I think so.
All right.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that an offensive playmaker is a really likely option. But to the point of, you know, defensive secondary and ratcheting up the urgency, I think that whether it's in the first round or later in the rounds, I think that those positions could very well be addressed. I mean, I think that safety slash slot corner is something that they'll be looking at pretty hard.
All right, last question. We're talking Tim McManus, covers the Eagles for ESPN.com. This is a hypothetical of a hypothetical. Where do you think the Eagles would stand? And this is purely guesswork on your part, which is makes it fun. Where do you think the Eagles would stand on the hypothetical of Foles going 3-0 starting the season?
In other words, do I think it would affect
whether Wentz how they gets would back handle in? Wentz? Yes.
No, I really don't. I mean, I think that that would just be if we came across that situation where Wentz wasn't ready and Foles was able to get them out to a hot start.
Yeah,
I don't think they would go into ride the hot hand.
They wouldn't.
Mode. No,
even at 4-0.
No, you know what? I don't think so. I think that when Wentz is ready, Wentz is in there, and there's all sorts of different dynamics at play. But I think one of the most important to focus in on a situation like that is you have to have a good long-term relationship with that franchise quarterback. And I don't think that you want to say, well, you know, let's just wait till the wheels fall off with Foles until we get this guy back in there. He's been chomping at the bit. He's been working extremely hard. You know, he didn't deny that he had pangs of jealousy watching Nick Foles hoist that Lombardi trophy up there. I don't think that you want to create any type of ill will in the name of, you know, generating maybe one more win out of Foles. So, no, I think as soon as Wentz is ready, I think they plug him in.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I'm glad you said that because, you know, there are a lot of people who are going the other way on this. I got to, like, pull him off.
A lot of Foles love out there, man.
You know, absolutely. And he's, of course, going around with disguises. Tim, always a pleasure, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Mike. Take care.
There he is, Tim.